I'm going to be presenting my latest results about linkage map and QTL analysis in a population that Dr. Larin just introduced in his chat. It's an interaction in an interspecific cross between Bacterium coring boson and Bacterium arboreum. Bacterium arboreum is a wild species native of North America. You can find it on the forest, on the highlight green estates in the United States. And this was an effort that Dr. Larin started in 2011 that we thought it can be a good thing to integrate traits from the Bacterium arboreum. So it grows like a tree, like you can see on the picture here, and it develops a single stroke structure. It has an open racine, like you can see also in the picture on the bottom. It develops deeper and wider root system than the typical commercial blueberries. But aside, as Dr. Larin already mentioned, it presents a small fruit, black and shiny, big seeds, and it develops during the fall, so it's out of the typical season of the southern high bush blueberries. So we try to attempt to build the linkage map to be able to do the QTL analysis, try to interpret how this integration was happening with the southern high bush cultivars. So I'm going to try to explain the complexity of this cross, because it's not a regular back cross, and it started that Bacterium arboreum is in a different section, so it doesn't cross naturally with the cultivated blueberries. It's diploid, so Dr. Larin doubled the genome by colchicine, then crossed back with one of the cultivars, southern high bush cultivars, in this case Primadonna. The southern high bush have shown auto tetraploid segregation, so we can have up to four different alleles for the same loci, while for the double genome arboreum we have up to two potential alleles. So from this cross, the selection FL0A467 was selected, and it was crossed back to a different cultivar to avoid inbreeding depression. So we have another four different sets of alleles that can be segregated in this population. So at the end, we obtained 130-something plants on the field, and the highest potential is having four different alleles for a specific loci coming from the coring boson subgenome, and the other extreme will be two coming from the coring boson and two coming from the arboreum. On average, this population should be like one quarter arboreum. We evaluated the plants from 2011 to 2013 on the field, and we tried to cover as much as possible vegetative, reproductive, and fruit data. I'm going to be presenting data for number of grains from the crown, pedicel length, root length, and pollen germination. For the genotyping data, we use SSRs. We run more than 300. We selected 137 polymorphic microcellulose markers, and we perform GBS data too. And what I mean about GBS is we use high quality DNA, we digest it with PST1, we ligate it with barcode and common adapters, and then we perform the PCR on independent samples. After that, the PCR product was clean, quantified, and then we pull about 20 nanograms of PCR product to the general pool. The library was submitted for sizing, for selecting fragments between 200 and 500 base pairs, and submitted for sequencing. After we collect the SNP data, we formatted to fit the tetraploid map format. And we used tetraploid map to build the map and to do the QTL analysis. To build the map, we used the option of clustering, and this is an example of how the dendrogram for the markers, specific the markers for the second parent, the interspecific hybrid, looks like. And we confirmed that it was grouping decently. So we tried to confirm this first visually, and then we group it in 12 linkage groups. After that, we work each independent linkage groups to order the markers. And to do that, we started using the SSRs as base, and then adding one by one the SNP markers, the ones that we feel less confident about it. So the threshold was we keep only markers that present a minimal lot score of 2. And what I mean is, here on the picture, it must be a 2 somewhere else. So that markers have to have a high similarity with another marker to be able to keep it on the map. After that, we assign the faces. I mean, we assign the alleles for locations for the 4 homologous. So P1 is for parent 1, P2 is for parent 2. Usually in deploy softwares, the software does it for you. Tetraploy map, you have to do it manually. So we use the highly informative SSRs, like for example this one, the 2450, to assign the alleles to the corresponding chromosome, or the homologous chromosome, to obtain something like this. So we have the overall map, which is the typical map that you will find anywhere that covers the linkage group, but we also have the homologous for this linkage group. And again, using the highly informative SSR markers, we can infer which 2 homologous below to or are mostly predominant Bacillus arboreum and which one are mostly Corym boson. So we have 2 coming from the arboreum and 2 from the Corym boson subgenome. And this has been really helpful for the QTL analysis. So as a result, we obtain a linkage map from each parent covering about more than 200 centimorgans from each one, with an average marker per linkage group of 15. And for the QTL data, I'm gonna try to explain this picture. So we have the red line, which is the full model, which represent all the homologous chromosomes for that specific location in this linkage group. And the blue line that represents the simple model, in this case, is representing a set of alleles. So in an autotetraploid segregation, we can have 6 different combinations of alleles, which are listed here. And this is the mean for this specific set of combinations for this particular part of the chromosome, I mean for this QTL. And I'm showing also which are, for that specific linkage group, the most potential homologous chromosome for this case. So in this case, Q3 and 4 represent homologous 3 and 4 and are mainly the Corym boson ones. And the Q1 and 2 are the arboreum ones. So we can see in this case that for pedicel length, the arboreum is contributing to increase the size of the pedicel twice as big as when the arboreum is missing on the segregation. We also obtain a QTL for pollen germination, a trait that it was highly affected with the integration of the arboreum. So the same, you can see how the blue line, which is the simple model, is contributing highly to this QTL, and is representing for the 2 arboreum homologous. When the 2 homologous from arboreum are present, we have a germination of 49% on average. And when we don't have those on these individuals, we have an average of 81% of germination. So we are happy with these results because we can see that we can still introgress traits from arboreum and rid off of the bad traits, in this case, pollen germination. We obtain also a QTL for number of cases from the crown. We were a little bit surprised about these results because we were expecting that the arboreum would decrease the number of branches coming from the crown. So that is something characteristic from the cultivated blueberries. However, the QTL showed that it's an interaction between the 2 subgenomes. So we have a simple effect model from Q2 and 4. 2 is coming from Corym boson, 4 is coming from arboreum. But at the same time, I have to say, arboreum present other characteristics that at the beginning we didn't consider. But arboreum can develop a lot of suckers coming from the crown or from the root. And that is a genotype specific. And we don't have this grandparent for this population. We lost the arboreum tetraploid plant, So it's something that we can't evaluate for this genotype, but we have seen it in different arboreal. So some of them produce a lot of suckers, some of them doesn't. So it could be an interaction of this characteristic coming from the arboreal. About the total root length, this is a complex trait, but it's just showing how the two chromosomes coming from the Corrin boson is contributing to the total root length. That makes sense. We saw this genomic variability when we evaluate this data, and I have to describe a little bit more about this. So we use softwood Corrins rooted after 4 weeks, and we establish them in a bench rhizotron, and we evaluate them for 10 weeks. And it was a perfect environment to grow southern high bush. It was a very drained soil, it was fertilized every week, and we can see how the Corrin boson, the cultivated blueberries, were very happy growing there. Aside this, arboreal present pretty much 0% rooting of softwood Corrin. So it's something that we also saw how it was segregating in this population. We have some genotypes that doesn't root at all in the traditional way, and some others that root very nicely, like 100% rooting. So we saw an exponential, or not exponential, we saw how some genotypes behave very nicely at the beginning. I mean, from after 4 weeks of rooting to the 10 weeks evaluations, we can see how the Corrin boson genotypes were really happy. We put some plants on the ground and we let it grow for 1 year. And it's data that I haven't completed the analysis yet, but we expect to find something on older plants. And just for give you some information about it, we can see some genotypes that has very arboreal characteristics traits on the roots, and hopefully we'll find something there. This is my last slide, so I'm just going to thank my financial support from the USDA and my sponsor from Mexico, CONACYT. Thanks my advisor, Dr. Larin and Dr. Chaparro, that have helped me with this project, and of course the lab field managers. And I don't know if you have, we have time
for a couple of questions.
Questions. The first one is, it seems to the GBAs are not very useful for tetraploids, right?
The question was if GBS is useful for tetraploids. We have been having a lot of troubles with GBS, and the main thing is all the software are designed for diploids. So when you try to combine all the four homologous in one SNP, it's very hard because there is no way to tell when you have four or not. But you can work around it. I mean, you can still use the softwares. You just have to be really aware that they can introduce extra bias in your data. So for example, I use stacks to call the SNPs, and stacks start kicking out the lowest haplotype because it's designed for diploid. So once you have two haplotypes for the same SNP, and if you still have a third or fourth, it's gonna take it out because it's inferring two haplotypes with more copies of that. So what we did was isolating the specific tag and searching that around the whole population. So just be aware of that, that it can give you false negatives. And in fact, it was really bad, it was up to 20% missing data.
Do you have to increase your sequencing coverage in order to increase your identification of specific haplotypes?
We were, the question was if I have to increase the coverage, the depth for the sequencing. No, we have a very good sequences. In average, we have like 100 tags per loci, so it was really, we got very good data for that. We sequenced it was a high throughput sequencing for 150 cycles. but we established a threshold in a stacks for minimum of 11 copies, so we don't have a problem with that.
Do you have an idea of how the stop genome you compare to the present? You have A1, A2. Is A1 together to be the present or A1, A2?
The question is if I know how the subgenomes are segregating. We find out that this interspecific cross is behaving as a mix. It's not completely an autotetraploid, but it's not an autotetraploid. So we have like 11% of recombination between the genomes.
All right, thank you very much, Patty.